Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here at the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And what we do here on Excess Astrology is we take letters and phone calls from listeners and attempt to answer your questions astrologically and share our love of astrology with you all and get you used to living and thinking and breathing astrology like we do. Normally, my co-hosts are Heather Roan Robbins out in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Mark Woltz, who lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I'm not sure if they're going to be joining me tonight, but I'm here, and we'll do a lot in our time allotted, our half an hour time, to take your calls and answer your questions and move forward. As you know, we live in interesting times. Most important, we are going to have the new moon on. Most important energy this week. We're going to have a new moon on Friday in the sign of the fire rooster, okay? And the fire rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo. If any of you have ever been around roosters, you know that they are very noisy little critters, and they make a lot of noise, and they run around, and they have a comb in their comb-overs in their head, and they crow a lot. You know, they do stuff. And a lot of times the roosters don't make it long. They get turned into chicken stew because the hens are busy. They're laying the eggs and doing the work, and the roosters are running around jumping. But they're fiery. They're fighters. They're little bantams. They get a little rah, 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 rah. And they have it's not legal in the United States, although there are some cockfights. But in other countries, it's a very prominent form of entertainment for people. You go down Saturday night to the cockfights, and people have roosters. They bet on them. The roosters peck each other's eyes out, and they die. It's pretty gross, but it's that kind of fighting energy. So the fire rooster year, which means we have a year of fiery roosters. Yes, yes, yes. Can't make this stuff up. Year of fiery roosters taking place, and everybody's very fiery, right? There's a fiery energy around things. So there's a whole fire whoosh, whoosh, whoosh as the energy builds and grows and builds and grows. And a lot of energy around this new moon is fire moon. Now, last year was the year of the fire dragon. Now we're in the fire moon and fire rooster. So we have a rooster energy and we have a fire energy. So that amps up the rooster quite a bit. The new moon also is on the planet Isis, the asteroid Isis. Now, it's not Isis like the terrorists, although they could certainly act up on this new moon. But it is Isis like the Egyptian goddess who went into the underworld. And her husband, Orias, was cut into 14 pieces. And she helped reassemble him. Except when she was done, the penis was missing because it had been eaten by a fish. So she was kind of upset. You know, you put the guy back together again and the penis doesn't work. So she fashioned a golden penis for him, and then they conceived their child Horus, which of course is that Egyptian eye, another god of Egypt. So there's a mythology running in the world right now around this energy on this new moon. So it's kind of an interesting new moon. The Sabian image is also the flag turning into the eagle for the moon degree. Can't make this stuff up. So we're taking the flag, which is the banner and how it waves, and it's transforming into the eagle, which is a raptor. Eagles are very aggressive and very assertive little critters, and they, you know, fly up at the top and they look down at the bunnies and the chickens, and they, in terms of the bunnies and the chickens, they go, okay, time to eat you, and they come down, and they grab it and they eat it and they bring it back to its nest. Now they don't kill anything unless they're hungry. So it's not like they're killing, they're just doing it because they're raptors. But we're shifting from the flag into the imagery of the eagle. So it's an interesting thing. There's a woman named Linda Hill who has written a lot on the Sabian images. And so the one that, you know, the Sabian image for this moon is a flag turning into an eagle. And so from her book, it represents the nationalistic ideals and values being taken to their highest level. It's symbolic representations of these strong ideas. The flag is a pictorial representation of a nation or a country's spirit, and the eagle is the physical manifestation of that spirit. As the flag turns into the eagle, the feeling of spirit is transformed into a physical expression of the idea, and they're made physical and more realistic. The idea of the oracle for this, the purpose of what this imagery is it reflects the need or desire for our inner thoughts to become manifest in a daily life practice. Your core beliefs can be seen as your flag, and your announcement of an allegiance to them is like the eagle. You may find that you're being asked to go no longer to just project an image, but to own true power. In more dramatic situations, one may feel like they've been reborn or have suddenly become more motivated or inspired to carry through actions that they have previously only thought about. However, not everyone will agree with or believe in the ideals behind one's actions and words. Someone may be blowing their horn about issues that others might not want to salute. Be aware that although you might have experienced personal transformation, not everyone will be keen to hear about it. Others will be thrilled at your successes and want to hear about them. On the other hand, you may be doing a lot more talking than action, but that will most likely change soon. Be sure to retain your modesty and gauge other reactions accordingly. Keywords are turning away from having to prove oneself, rising above the commonplace, ascension, rebirth, homespun truth, ideals that uplift and free, shouting joy from the treetops, boosts in self-esteem, strength, transformation, plans taking shape, power and might, conveying images of strength and fidelity, declaring visions and dreams, totems, strong displays of independence and freedom announcements. The caution, forcefully displaying private beliefs, swallowing advertising and propaganda, believing the party line, blowing your own horn, bragging, sudden moon swings, arrogance, throwing one's weight around, threatening others with loud displays of might, bullying, taking over the top, talking over the top of others, not listening because of righteousness. Quotes, it's not good enough for things to be planned. They have to be done. For the intention to become reality, energy has to be launched into operation. Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair, and the rest is in the hands of God. That's George Washington there. You can put wings on a pig, but you don't make it an eagle. From Bill Clinton. Aim for the highest, Andrew Carnegie. Richard Lovelace says, if I have freedom in my love and in my soul am free, angels alone that soar above enjoy such liberty. The chasm between the principles upon which this government was founded, in which it still professes to believe, and those which are daily practiced under the protection of the flag yawn wide and deep. So the energy of the Sabian image that we're working with has a great deal to do with how do we see things, how do we work with things, how do we understand things on a deeper and greater level. And this new moon is very potent. Has a lot of duets in it. It has Mars at the anaretic degree of Pisces about to shift into a new two-year cycle of very fast-moving energy. You think it's moving fast now? Yeah, ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to go even faster, if that's possible. But it is, and it's going to go faster. It is a cardinal cross. Cardinal T-square, but right now there's a little Vesta hanging out there over in the hearth and home place. And Vesta is, of course, helping things transform and change around the home and hearth. But the energy shooting from the T-square, which we live with all year long, or at least until October, is shooting into the Cancer house. And as it shoots into the Cancer house, it's going to give it a kick up, an energy, a positive energy, but it's also going to make us be very reactive emotionally via our moons. Our moons are going to kick up and emotionally kick up and really cause a great deal of emotional sustenance and emotional caring, right? There's a whole energy here that's going to really make things change. And I think part of the deal with this is we have to watch where we're feeling emotionally vulnerable and do really, really good self-care. Double down on the self-care because the energy of the sky right now is so potent and so fierce, and our job is so our world is so fast changing that what can happen is we lose the self-care. We lose the ability, we lose the taking care of ourselves part in the crowd and the rush and the speed. And really our focus needs to be on that self-care because we're all we have, you know, and if I'm not for me and taking care of me, you know, who is? How do I work with that in another way? So our job with this energy is to really kick it up and to give it permission to speak and also to give it to understand that in that T-square, we're working with the masculine principles that are really very much at war with the feminine principles. because of the way the thing is set up. And our job with this is to kind of go, okay, we've got this energy very strongly set up, and now what do we do with it, right? So that was fast. I'm like running 90 miles. I'm running 90 miles an hour. I get out of bed and I run all day, which is good. And I don't see Heather or Mark yet. It's been a little crazy in our world. So we'll take some calls from listeners if people out there have questions. And we will invite you to call in 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And when you call in, press 1. That means you raise your hand and we call on you and answer your questions. So I'm now going to call on people and answer their questions. All right. Hi, 303. You were here way early. What's your question?
Hi. Oh, this is so exciting. So I currently have been looking, I've been working for myself, and I'm trying to transition back into full-time work. And I've been really stuck, and I haven't really been able to land anything in the particular field that I'm trying to get into. And so I'm just looking for any insights or any like blind spots or anything that you're seeing that I'm just not tuned into.
Okay, cool. What's your birthday?
It's March 16th, 1982.
March 6th, 1982. What time?
Oh, 16th, 3:34 a.m.
And where are you born?
Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, Colorado. Okay. All right. So March 16th, 1982, 3:34 in the morning in Boulder. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what's going on. Are you still living in Boulder?
No, I'm in Seattle now.
You're in Seattle. Okay. So we'll look at the Seattle chart too. We'll look at both of them and see what's going on. Because when you move, you get a whole new chart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge difference because you're moving one time zone, but it does make a difference. So, and sometimes that can be critical. So the question is, you're looking for work, but you haven't really transitioned into what you want, or you're looking to change your work. Is it both, or is it which way were
no,
you?
No, I'm just looking to be, yeah. So I was working for myself, and I want to stay doing similar work, but don't want to do it for myself right now. It's just been way too hard. And so I'm trying to get an in-house job, but I just haven't been able to land anything.
Okay, so you've been doing more consulting stuff, and now you're looking for the same work but having someone pay a regular gig.
Right. And
okay.
So when I actually quit my job to do this was during the eclipses in 2015, if that's
You quit it in September or the ones in March?
I quit in March, yeah.
Okay, that's when you quit your old regular full-time job.
Right, I went out on my own.
Okay, cool. Went out on your own. And now we're having another eclipse in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
we're entering eclipse season, just so you know. So the eclipse said, okay, you went out for a year, now you want to come back. Okay, we can have that. What happened in September vis-a-vis work? Anything?
Not too much. I mean, it's kind of been consistent, like little gigs here and there, but nothing of substantial, like no.
Well, Jesus is fabulous, and I'm really happy with what I'm doing. Okay.
Right.
Cool.
I've been happy
right.
When I do work, it's great, but it's not consistent enough and it's no longer sustainable.
Mm-hmm. It's also not fun. The chart doesn't, it isn't. That's, you're a Pisces. So Pisces like to do the work, but they have trouble hunting it. So if you had somebody hunting it for you, it would be easier.
Yeah.
And that's the shift. So that's part of the deal. I mean, the chart wanted to be off on its own, which is why you left. You said, this is kind of bullshit. I mean, in a mean way, you said it was kind of bullshit. You're having a Pluto transit. And you were like, I'm done with the politics and the kind of the manipulative games. But I'm a Pisces, so I just don't want to play like that anymore. And now I want to do something else and maybe come back, right? I will tell you, once you go back after you've been out, it's very hard. It's you have a different head now. So a lot of times people look and go, oh, you've been out on your own for a while. You get a different head when you do that. You're not as obsequious as you might be if you were looking for a regular job. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just that, just a, you know, what's going, when you say, what's the blind spot? So you're having Pluto in your first house and giving yourself, and Pluto is squaring your Mars and Pallas Athena. So there's a you're coming across with Pluto squaring the Mars and Pallas Athena as strong, which is good. But if you're interviewing with someone who doesn't like strong people, your chart can have a problem, right? So the key is you have to find people that are good with people that are strong. And now that you're having Pluto in your first, your chart's just going to get stronger. So if the person has trouble with strong you, then you can't work for them. So you have to interview with an idea going to say, this is my value and what I bring to bear, but I'm also a strong person. Are you comfortable with my strength? Right? Mm-hmm. And that piece is, that piece you want to kind of watch how you test it. So you, because right now Pluto's gone into your first house, going to be there for the rest of your life. You left your work when Pluto is squaring your Mars Pisces, your Mars Pallas Athena. And it says, okay, you know, what's going on? Why did you leave? And now Saturn, for the time being, is going to be in your 12th house, which is working a lot behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So this would suggest to me to look for someone who will have regular work that they get that they can contract out to you, that you work for them, and they maybe have their own shop. So are there other people that do what you do that you could subcontract to fill in some of the gaps? That's the space to go, because then you're technically working for them, even though you have your own. And then you're in employee mode again, quote unquote. And then when
but it's a little bit different.
It's a totally different feel, but they also are going to be feeding you work. And then you're going to have Saturn come to your ascendant in December of this year. So I don't mean it in a mean way, but when you had the Pluto squaring your Mars and Athena, there was a part of you that said, I need to go out. I need to leave. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have enough support behind it, but it doesn't mean you're necessarily going back in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can find other people that do the work you do and they subcontract to you, they're extra, that would help, as opposed to finding a gig with a regular company where you're doing that department.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I hadn't really considered trying to kind of like subcontract, so that might be a good route.
Well, what that
pursue.
Does is it lets the people get to know you and try you out without hiring you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they go, well, why don't you come in-house once they try you out? Because you have Saturn going through the 12th house, which is working behind the scenes, and then you get a gig. You get a gig that is, they like you. They go, come work for us as of December. Because Saturn's behind the scenes right now. So a lot of times, either we're leaving the job behind, it's not really working, we're not really happy, it's not really fun. But it's not that we don't like you, you know, you still like what you're doing, but you're not making enough money. And you don't have a lot of planets in the seventh house, so you're not really hunting the business well. So that's the hard part. You don't have a good hunter. It's, you know, a lot of times we find this with artistic types. Huh?
Yeah.
Pardon?
I definitely don't I don't have the disposition for it. It's rough.
it is. So find somebody else who will hunt for you and give you stuff. It's why a lot of artists have managers. Because the managers or the agents hunt for them and then send them in, and then they negotiate for them, and that says they get a cut of it. But, you know, a cut of something is better than nothing of nothing. And with Saturn in your 12th right now, you're not really feeling your mojo to, like, go find something. That said, Jupiter gets to your midheaven in September, and you get a whole new thing in. The other thing you can do, depending on how good finances are or not, you have a very good chart for working with the greater good of groups.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do work with groups, that can lead you to work.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's essentially what I consult around is I do, like, group development. I facilitate groups, workshops, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the thing, but somebody else hunts it for you. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And that's the chart is a group worker. That's, you know, you work well in groups, leading groups, running groups, but you have to have somebody else hunt it for you. So you want to find someone who hunts for a living, who likes to hunt things, and then they find you work. So you want to find people that out, you know, that place that, you know, there's speaker bureaus, there's training bureaus. Once you get a couple gigs, they love you. They really love your work. So it's not about your work being a bad quality. It's you just don't have a good hunter.
Yeah.
And it's not really something you want to do. So, I mean, I have one friend who's got a chart very similar, and she trains for 3 banks, and they rotate her. You know, she rotates between 3 mm-hmm. banks, has a wonderful time, and she's, but she gets these, you know, that's what they do. They call her over and over again, and she does the training for them. And that's, but she doesn't hunt. She, you know, she found them, she's in, she's locked in. They love her, she does her good job, and she goes home. She's got her own business, per se, but she's regular, steady gigs. And once you get those, that'll help. Now, it does look like you get them. You find a permanent partner, you find permanent people that want you in when Saturn gets to your ascendant. And that's good. And people love you. You have great reviews. So that's the other part is, you know, showcasing your work. You know, how do people find you?
Yeah.
How do they know what you can do for them? And you're also very good with other people's children. So if you have connections through children, meaning you have kids or you have friends that have kids, that's a good place to find work too.
Okay.
Because the 11th house is busy. So you might have somebody through the kids that know of the work.
Yeah.
So,
okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Grandma.
I mean, it's not that you're doing anything
really
wrong.
Helpful.
It's just, it's not bad. And you do get work this year, but it's a lot about how do they find you, right? And that part isn't clear. So, but once they figure out that you're there, they'll use you over and over again.
Okay.
So that part's good. But it also,
because
you know, a lot of the companies are, because of the way the world is working these days, they're outsourcing that kind of function. So finding people that coordinate that, you know, who's the top trainer in Seattle? Who's the top training company in Seattle? Can you work for them or can you subcontract to them? Right.
Yeah, that's good. I've been looking at consulting firms in a kind of a different capacity, so that's helpful to kind of shift.
Well, consulting firms work too because they hunt for you and they send you in, right? That's
got to be the
right. You have a good chart for doing the consulting, for doing group work as a consultant. So it's like send me in as, you know, as this person, and you've got an excellent chart for that kind of thing, where you lay out and diagnose it, and then you move on to the next place.
Yeah.
So, and you come across very well in corporate. It's not any issues with how you come across in corporate. Very good at getting people to, you know, connect and relate. Good group management skills. I mean, your chart's got excellent skills, so it's not skill set issue. It's marketing. Now, if you do decide to keep your own marketing thing going, I would direct you to a woman named Marie Forleo, F-O-R-L-E-O. Because when you went off on your own, you were inspired by something.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks a lot about taking your own unique voice and marketing it, and how do you find customers, what do you do? She has a big backlog of, or big library of training modules available for free. And then she also offers a course called B-School where you can sign in and sign up for it and learn, you know, what's my customer base, what's my model, who do I sell to, what kind do I sell. So when I was going through this a couple of years ago, I took the B-School course. But it was very helpful because I like reading charts. I like talking to people one-on-one. And, yes, I could do bigger work like, you know, YouTube or crap like that, but that doesn't really thrill me. I like to do the one-on-one stuff. And I like the idea of the other stuff, but it isn't what makes me happy. I'm a one-on-one girl, and I would rather do that all day than, I mean, I can do a presentation, and they're fun, and I have a good time, but I really prefer the one-on-one, right? And so it made me feel very comfortable to say, no, that's the direction I want to grow my business, more one-on-one, maybe some webinars where I do webinars, but I know who's in the audience, and I know their stuff. And so it was very helpful to kind of figure it out and then say, okay, this is what I do. This is how I do this work, right? So her courses are really good, but her free stuff is excellent. And she talks a lot about how do you get your unique voice heard because you're here to do your work of your chart, and you have an excellent chart for what you're doing. It's just finding people to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And she kind of helps you with those questions. So, you know, she has a question and you kind of, you know, click on it and go, oh, okay, let me learn about this. And they're like very short 10-minute little things, but they really help a lot. So.
Okay, cool.
F-O-R-L-E-O. You're welcome. You're welcome. So good luck with
that. Yeah, I appreciate it. Okay, thanks so much. This was great.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hi, 917. You're on the air. How can I help?
Hi. First off, I've been listening to you for quite some time, so I'm happy to finally meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you, too. What's your birthday?
11/21/88, Flushing, New York, at 5:15 p.m.
11/21, what year?
88, at 5:15 p.m.
Okay, and where were you born?
Flushing, New York.
Flushing, okay. All right. Okay, so November 21st, 1988, 5:15 p.m. in Flushing. And what's your question?
I just wanted a general overview for what to expect for the next year, especially since Jupiter is going to be moving into Scorpio. Just a general overview. Work, love, friendship, family. So I'm just a general question, yeah.
Well, you're having a lot of redefining all your relationships with Saturn running through your seventh house, and you're about to have your Saturn return. So when you have that, you figure out what you're here to do. And that's really what I would say is the most important thing going on for you this year is Saturn saying, well, what's your path, what's your purpose, why are you here, and what are you going to do with it once you figure it out? So being born in 88, the Saturn return happens in December. And as he goes through the seventh house, he's going to be talking to you a lot about how do we, what are our friendships, what are our relationships, and what's important to us. Jupiter right now is in your fifth house until we get to the fall. And so in the fifth house, what he wants to do is expand your creativity and encourage you to grow and have more fun and do more interesting things and try new stuff. At the same time, Pluto is, he's hanging out in your eighth house. He's finished with your with his square to your Aries, so the envy jealousy story should be winding down a little bit. And he's forming the T-square that we have all year. A lot of changes in your groups and your associations and who you're hanging out with Uranus in the 11th. So the communities that you're a member of really shift. As a Scorpio, you've got three planets in Scorpio plus Pluto, plus Vesta. And Jupiter gets there in the fall. So that's going to amp up work and really kick up work and health matters. A lot of times when we have planets in the sixth, we do have health issues or we're involved in some kind of health work. Like we do healing work or we're working in some healing capacity. So with Jupiter going through the fifth house, it also can be accounting because Scorpio does accounting. But Jupiter going through the sixth house amplifies that area. But this year, until we get to October, he's in the fifth and he's having a lot of fun. The exit point for the T-square is in what's of value to you. So the chart's really saying to you, well, what is of value to you? What would you really like? What's really important? And when we get to when Saturn finishes with your seventh house, he's going to have a lot of changes in the structure of your life once we get to the last parts of November and early December when he comes to your progressed sun. So the focus for you is, you know, you don't have any planets in the me, myself, and I quadrant, houses 1, 2, 3. So it's hard sometimes for you to do good self-care, which is important, really important this year. You are having a Mars return in a couple of days. So the Mars return starts you on a new 2-year journey, which is really important for you to kind of say, okay, this is my vision of where I'm going. So I would sit down with this new moon. And also the eclipses this year very much change the direction of your life and say, where do you want to go, particularly the one coming at the end of February, because that's up in the top of your chart saying, well, what direction do you want to take? So you have a lot going on, and your progressive moon is in the 8th house, which is kind of a private house and quiet. And that gets to oppose, it's in Taurus, so it's really wanting to create things of beauty and things that are of lasting value. And so that would be the focus, I think, for you, is what's of lasting value, doubling down on your spiritual practice, and really saying, because all the planets are shooting energy into your second house, well, what's the most important thing for me right now? What makes me the happiest, gives me the most joy, makes me feel the most settled? Does that make sense in terms of how you're showing up or what's showing up?
Yeah, no.
Did you have health issues with those planets in Scorpio in your sixth house?
Right before Saturn was in Scorpio, and I had surgery at that time, and then I restructured my health.
Okay, good. So Jupiter coming through there should really feel, because Jupiter coming through there should make it really feel like it's healing. Yeah.
Okay.
So don't worry about Jupiter. Jupiter makes it better. Pardon?
Yeah, I was worried it was going to make me gain weight again.
Well, it does make you fat, but that's okay. You know, fat is healthy. As far as the universe is concerned, fat is healthy. When you go to Africa, all the little zebras are fat. All the little ponies are fat. And if you see a skinny animal, you go, what's wrong with that? It's hurt. So fat is a natural state, even though not fat, but like comfortably plump. So Jupiter through
Understood.
The sixth can make you plump, but right now it's in the fifth house of excess. So you want to kind of just go, no excess, and when I get to the sixth house, it should be better behaved. But also when it's in the fifth house, you can get pregnant. So if you get pregnant, then it's very natural for you to expand when it goes through your sixth house, which is starting in November or October, rather.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, definitely we'll take everything you said into account and we'll think about it. I really appreciate talking to you. It's a pleasure.
You are very welcome. So have a great week. And goodbye, everybody. Our time is done. I think we're already been turned off anyway, but you never know. And we'll hopefully join us all next week on Access Astrology. Bye.